Hello, my friends. Welcome again to the Deeper Daily Podcast. I'm Paul. It's the third day of March. Thanks for joining me. I want to say a happy birthday to my brother, Michael. Michael is a frequent listener to my podcast. He kind of catches them in bulk, I think, on his drives. And Michael and Trish are still living in Southern California, still living in the Santa Clarita, California area that we lived in for several years. Michael's doing a great kingdom work, working in the school system in Antelope Valley, touching countless lives with mercy and love and understanding. Those young people are blessed to be able to encounter such a soul. I want to wish Michael a very happy birthday today. I hope that he has a great day, and I'm just believing that God is doing a great thing in and through him. And I miss him and my sister-in-law, my nephews very much. Some of you who watched our ministry for many years in our Missouri days up until early 2015, you remember Michael was our worship leader. And his oldest son is a freshman playing junior college basketball at College of the Sequoias in California. And his younger son, my nephew Braden, is a junior playing basketball at Saugus High School. So they are a basketball family, and they're having a great time with their kids and everything. So that's a little update. I haven't talked to you about Michael in a while, and the last time we were together, I meant to sit down, do a little interview, and post that for you, and time got away from us, and we didn't do it. Maybe we'll get to do that sometime in the future. But if he's listening, happy birthday, Michael. Today is Luke chapter 10. I told you we were going to cover this 15th verse. Let's do 15, 16 today, because this really puts a point on this entire mission of the 70, even though it's the 70 aren't back yet. And technically, they haven't even been sent out yet. He's appointing them and sending them out, and he's warning them about cities who reject them. This is interesting to note that none of the cities have actually rejected them yet. They come back in verse 17, which means they aren't even gone in the verses we're reading. So Jesus is warning them that, hey, there's going to be places that reject you. He's teaching them how to handle this rejection before it happens, which is a good way of saying it's going to happen. So here's how you need to learn to deal with it. And again, I repeat what we said yesterday. He doesn't encourage them to be negative. He doesn't encourage them to put a curse. He doesn't let them call them an enemy. He just makes them shake the dust off their feet. Forget the past. Leave what's there and move on and let God do it. Because it's going to be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon than for Chorazin and Bethsaida. There's two cities we mentioned yesterday. It brings us to 15, where he gives another city and he gets a little more specific. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? No, you'll be brought down to Hades. That's the word he uses there, which is the abode of the dead. So will you be exalted into another realm, into the realm of the kingdom? No, you'll die. You'll cease to exist. You'll go to Hades, the realm of where you are no more. Now, he reserves this statement for Capernaum. Capernaum is the sort of unofficial headquarters of Jesus. It's the place that he lives. Another gospel says he has a house there. I don't know if it's his house. We know he stays with Peter quite often. Peter's house is right there in Capernaum, not far from the synagogue. That is one of the most well-preserved archaeological sites in the entire region of Galilee. If you've ever been to the Middle East, you go to Israel, go to Capernaum, because it is remarkable at what they've found. They've dug down and dated the stones of the foundations to the first century and before. In other words, you go through what's now archaeological dig of Capernaum, and you're looking at the foundation stones of the same synagogue Jesus stood in. You're looking at the foundation stones of Peter's house, where Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law. Some of the greatest things, I don't want to say some of the greatest things he did, because that's actually the opposite. The greatest of us all, the greatest man who's ever lived, Jesus, the God-man, lives in Capernaum. You would think that it would have been a hotbed of miraculous activity, that there would have just been a consistent stream of people coming from all over the world to come to Capernaum. And yet, based upon verse 15, we know this isn't true, because Jesus says, "You, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven?" No, you'll be brought down to Hades. Why? Well, because within the context, these are places that have rejected the messengers, which tells us that Capernaum, though they see a few miracles, Jesus does a few miracles in the synagogue, and like I say, he heals Peter's mother-in-law, for the most part, he's rejected in the city that he calls home. And that's not unusual. Most of the time, you are rejected in the place you call home. We don't like things right in front of us. We're more prone to admire the things we don't know, or the things that we can't really get to know, things that are a little farther away. It's like there's a statement in the world called familiarity breeds contempt. I don't know if it's true. I would say it seems like familiarity breeds boredom. The more familiar we get with something, the more unexcited we get about it. Maybe a very pessimistic person could takes that on to say familiarity breeds contempt, because we do tend that when we do finally grow contemptuous of something or someone, the things we loved are the things that we hate. Things we loved in the beginning are the things we hate at the end. I'm not sure that's familiarity. Maybe I'm not smart enough to know what that is, but I do have a feeling that familiarity often breeds boredom or a lack of excitement, the more familiar we get with something. So I think Capernaum is probably like a lot of us. The closer we are to a subject, the less impressed we are. And that happens in Jesus with Capernaum, but they're not off the hook. That this isn't the entrance to the kingdom. This is the entrance to death. My statement to you and to me is, let us be careful not to become lackadaisical with Jesus. How? Because if we do, we risk being a little bit like the Capernaum of old, that we're so familiar with the church and with worship and with prayer and with Bible study and with who he is that it's not impressive anymore. And you might say, well, how do we get the spark back? I think we have to keep going back to Jesus for who he is, not just for what he does. We have to keep going back to him as the Son, the S-O-N and the S-U-N, so that it continues to impress us. Let's put a bow on this, because that's what Jesus does before he sends them out. This final statement, verse 16, whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me. Whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me. This is to give the disciples a little bit of hope. First of all, you're going to be rejected. But secondly, don't worry. If they reject you, they're actually rejecting me. And so then if they reject me, they're rejecting the Father. And the Father's going to take care of it. You don't have to worry about it. And I'm trying to teach myself this lesson. I don't have to play all three roles. I'm not called to. I'm not called to play my role and Christ's role and the Father's role. The Father as the judge and Jesus as the Redeemer, they're not working against each other. Those are two of the same things. But I'm just a messenger, and that's what you and I are as well. Now, the 70 are going to come back, and they've got a message, and Jesus then has a message for them. And this is, of everything, this is the climactic. No, this is what it's all about, is when they come back. And we'll look at that with you tomorrow. Have a great day. God bless.